Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Henderson Church of Christ. Welcome to Henderson, Tennessee. We're so grateful for everyone being here, especially to our incoming freshmen, to the students that are here that are coming back as well. This is an exciting time in life, and you've almost finished the hard part. Now, the hard part is surviving the social experience of being around new people as well as your parents. And so soon enough, they'll go home, and you'll get to figure out things for yourself at Freed Hardeman. I almost didn't survive that experience. I remember coming for Interface, my dad and I were getting on the elevator to go up to BK to sign up for something, and there were two Interface leaders on the elevator. One of them would eventually be my wife, and the another one was one of her friends. And we got on the elevator, and I was trying to play it cool. Obviously, I'm a freshman, they're older, and my dad asked them how old they were, what year they were in, and he told me very loudly in front of them, "John, you've got to watch out for these older girls." And I just about lost it, you know. And so it took me until February to get up the courage to speak to that girl again, but I'm glad we did. We ended up getting married in that same building. So it was just an incredible time, an incredible experience going to Freed Hardeman, and we wish you all the best while you're there. One of the things that you'll quickly realize is that you're going to have to make a lot of choices about what to do with your time. There's going to be so many different things vying for your attention. Everything demanding time, whether it's social clubs or intramural sports or going to see the sports teams, going to campus devos or your dorm devotionals, and then, of course, going to class occasionally, making sure that we are remembering what we're coming to get an education for in the first place. But as we think about this, many people, there's a popular meme that's gone around. You might be familiar with it. There are three things that everyone wants to have in college, and that is a good social life, good grades, and good sleep. But the problem is you can only choose two of those things. If you choose good grades and a good social life, you probably won't be sleeping very much. But if you value your sleep, you're going to have to pick one or the other two. You just can't do all three. If you add on top of that, if you're an athlete, that's going to be difficult. But even more importantly, and especially, you know, the reason that we're all here this morning, the reason that we probably chose to come to a Christian university, is that we want to grow in faith. We want to grow in our relationship with God. And you can see very, very quickly that we'll have to make some priorities about how we're going to do that. The decisions that we make now are going to affect our lives, and any good habits that we develop now will continue to bless us into the future. The question then is, well, how do I decide? There's so many things that I could be choosing to do. And this applies to everyone, I think, not just college students, but we have to keep making these decisions on into life. What am I going to decide to do with the time that I've been given? And just like all important questions in life, we can open up the Bible and find out the answers. Let's see if this thing works. There we go. If you open up your Bible to Haggai chapter 1, it's easiest to open up to Matthew and go a few books back. Those minor prophets are some incredible information there for us, but quite often we neglect them. In Haggai chapter 1, we have about 40,000 Israelites who have been allowed to go home from captivity. Now, we remember the stories of all the prophets going to those Israelites before captivity, warning them, if you don't get your act together, if you don't start acting right and following God's word, God's going to allow other countries to come and destroy Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened. They were taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar was defeated, and the Persians moved into Babylon, and their foreign policy was a little bit different. They said, we don't really want all of these people around. We just want to be around our own people. So why don't you guys go back home, make sure you pay your taxes, but we'll even provide you what you need to rebuild your temple, to rebuild, you know, where you live, the places that had previously been destroyed. So that's exactly what happened. If we look in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, we can see those things taking place. They go home. And it's a very exciting time in their lives. They're able to rebuild the temple. They're able to work together. But very quickly, some problems happen. Some of the people in the land, they say, we want to help you rebuild the temple. We like Yahweh. He's a good God. And along with all of our other gods, we would like to worship him. And the people of Israel say, no, that's not how this is going to work. We want to build the temple by ourselves. And people feeling a little bit maybe jealous or upset about that, they wrote to the king of Persia. The king of Persia told him, just put a halt on your work for a while. And if you go back and look at some of the timelines, they perhaps waited around for about 16 years before they resumed work on the temple again. Because of this pressure, because of maybe other things to be working on. And when we think about this, this is the context in which Haggai speaks to the people of Israel. What I want us to do is to read Haggai chapter 1, starting in verse 2. And we will continue down through the scripture reading that we read today. But here's what Haggai says to the people. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so and puts them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills, bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld their dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, and on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. In the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now this is a really interesting story when you think about the prophets, because very infrequently does a prophet go to the people of Israel and they actually listen and do what the prophet tells them to do. But that's exactly what takes place here. And I want us to think, how can all this apply to our lives? How can we, going into a new school year or going into a year of work or whatever our situation might be, how might we apply these things to our lives? There's three things I want us to take away from the story of Haggai. The first one is that when we fail to include God in our plans, we are planning for failure. If we go back and look in verses 4 through 6, these Israelites were focusing on their own lives. They were going about their day-to-day business, but they weren't thinking about the Lord. They weren't thinking about their mission. They weren't thinking about the reason that they'd gotten to go back to Jerusalem in the first place, and their plans continued to come to nothing. All of the work, all of the fruit of their labors just wasn't enough. Their lives were unfortunately focused on the wrong priorities, not thinking about the God who had created them and the God who had commissioned them to do this special job. I think oftentimes we get the idea that everything is so busy that I just need to get some things sorted out in my life. I need to get everything, I need to get my grades up, I need to, you know, make sure that I've made some good friends, I need to make sure that everything's going well, and once I've done all those things, then I can go to God. Then I can get that sorted out. I've got to take care of these things first, and then I will go to church. But unfortunately, that's just not the way that things work. I think we're familiar with Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Unfortunately, we often, because of the strain and the stress, we'll focus on things where we're going to be held more accountable. Am I going to be held accountable if I miss class? Definitely. Am I going to be held accountable if I miss a social event where that everybody was at? Probably so. Some friends might ask me where I was. But maybe we'll think, if I don't really get involved too much in a local congregation, nobody really miss me. I'll get to sleep in a little bit more. And then I'll be able to survive. I've got all this other stuff going on. But when we neglect our Father, when we neglect the church, even though we might be filling our schedules, we're going to feel incredibly empty. Our lives are going to be empty and not be full of the blessings that God can provide. We might find success, we might find wealth in life, but without a relationship of the creator of the world, what does it matter? Where are we going? Where are we finishing this life? I think as students, we need to remember that we've been given an incredible opportunity, but we need to remember also who it is that's given us that opportunity. The second point, and things get better from here, the Lord is glorified whenever we build his temple. If we look in verses 7 and 8, we see that the people decided to build, the Lord their God told them that he would be glorified in doing this. Now, we won't be building a physical temple. We won't be coming together and working on some type of building like the Israelites, but the New Testament makes it abundantly clear that the church, Jesus' body, is the temple that we are a part of today. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul tells us, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's spirit dwells within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Speaking to the congregation at Corinth as a whole, saying, all of you make up the temple of God today. This is very, very important that each one of us is an active member of the body of Christ. Peter puts it in a similar way in 1 Peter 2, verse 5. He says, you yourselves are like living stones and are being built up as a spiritual house. We're not taking physical stones and building up a grand temple, but we're taking ourselves, being physical stones, and building up the body of the Lord's people. Peter concludes and says that we ought to be a holy priesthood so that we might offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. So we need to ask ourselves the question, and maybe remind ourselves this question throughout the semester. What am I doing to actively be involved in building up the Lord's temple? Now, I want to make a really important point here that I don't think we should forget. Even though Fried Hardeman is an incredible place, even though Fried Hardeman is wonderful and you'll make lifelong friendships, you'll make so many connections that are so valuable to you, Fried Hardeman is not the Lord's church. Fried Hardeman is a wonderful place where there are many, many Christian people, but Fried Hardeman in itself is not the Lord's church. As wonderful as Campus Devos are, they shouldn't be a replacement for being an active member in one of the local congregations. As special and important, and as much as you'll miss it when you leave, chapel is such a great thing. But it's not a replacement for gathering with the saints on the first day of the week and taking of the Lord's Supper and remembering Jesus and what he's done for us. Social club spiritual activities are really fun. We get to be with one another and think about important things, but they really don't need to be a replacement for our Sunday morning Bible classes. We need to think about what truly is the Lord's temple and how it is that we can be building that up. I want to encourage all of the students here, make yourself a part of a local congregation. We would love to have you here at Henderson. We'd love for you to be involved. We'd like you to be involved in the college-age Bible class. We'd like you to be involved in the Welcome Home program, where some of the members here bring you into their homes and treat you like your family, home away from home. But while you're here at Fried, it's going to be very, very helpful if you find a congregation and be involved. And don't just church hop and skip around. Aaron and I, we did that, and we were incredibly blessed. We were incredibly blessed to find a group of people to work with during our 4 years, and we have those relationships to think about because of that. Please help us here at Henderson to build up the Lord's temple, because we know that he will be glorified whenever we do so. Our last point is that we can be sure of God's presence whenever we respect his will and we obey him. After the Israelites decided to fix their priorities, verse 13 tells us that Haggai gave them another message from God, and he assuredly told his people, I'm with you. I am with you. Now that you have obeyed and now that you've listened, I am with you. And we can assume that all of those problems and issues of finding the lack of fulfillment in their lives, those things were addressed. Whenever they focused their attitude, whenever they focused their priorities on God, they were taken care of in all the other things as well. We often have so much going on that it's very, very hard to keep up. But what a beautiful comfort it is to know that our God is with us. He's blessing us with opportunities, and he's blessing us with the strength that we need to follow through on those opportunities. If we turn over to Haggai chapter 2, if you look in verses 15 through 19, God speaks to the people one more time. Let's read this together. He says, now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. But notice verse 18. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing, but from this day on, I will bless you. Whenever we take that moment in our lives and decide, I am going to be about the Lord's business, I am going to work for him, I prioritize him, everything else will fall in line. We'll be able to take care of the things that need to be done. We can make good grades, we can have a good time with our friends, and hopefully at some point in 4 years you'll get a little bit of sleep. When we think about this, we have to focus on God. We have to think of the giver of our opportunities. I pray that you students will have an incredible year. I pray that you will meet lifelong friends, maybe even your future spouse. I pray that you'll have a lot of fun, that you'll enjoy yourselves. I pray that you will succeed in your studies and that you'll grow in knowledge. But most of all, I pray that in these formative years of your life, that you will be focused on obedience and love of the Lord, our Savior. At this time, we have an opportunity to, and we have an opportunity really any time we think about it, but we often try to think about it at the end of a lesson. There's an opportunity to assess ourselves and think, how am I going to go forward this week? How am I going to take God's word as it has affected me in my heart? And how can I look back and decide, am I matching up with God's expectations? How am I doing in my relationship with the Lord? At this time, if there's anything at all that anyone might need, be it prayers of the church or encouragement or learning how to even become a Christian in the first place, please let us know. We'd be happy to help in any way that we can. If you would like, please come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.